Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone. Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saobona. In Senegal, Nangadek. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, Palestine, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all. Join us live on the on-air radio network. Call 727-731-5192. We want to talk to you.
All day long and never have to leave your home. All you need is a media connection. Somebody to connect you to an audience. And that's why I'm talking to you today. We produce programs. And our audience members are people who shop. They buy clothes, food, duty supplies, cleaning supplies, home repairs, transportation services, child care services, whatever you're selling, they need to buy. We're your media connection. Just follow this link, and tomorrow you can sit back and relax at home while your business is making you money.
All right, you family. We're getting ready to roll, and I'm so happy you're here today because this is going to be a great show. I already started crying before the show started, so let's get ready for the Female Solution and that beautiful intro we're about to experience.
Your show will go live in 5 seconds.
5 seconds.
3, 2, 1. Long Host Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution,
press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directed to your email and your smartphone. Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, En Europe. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Assam Wasatan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Salbona. In Senegal, Nangadek. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
What up, what up, what up? It's Asada. Thank you for tuning in to Gathering of the Griots. That's where you are Tuesday mornings here at the Female Solution, giving big props to Sister Naima Latif, who makes this possible and allows us to do Gathering of the Griots right here on the international video waves. But before I'm not even going to utter a word about the show yet, because when I do the book fair, I do a thing in the beginning of the main book fair where we ask, we do it for the small ones as well, but we ask for the permission of the elders to speak, right, and to give us permission to speak, really, right, and give us permission to start. So I wanted to do this. Again, my man Amandilo, Lord, he's so powerful. But this is a tribute to the literary elders that have passed on. They are now ancestors. And we're going to play this first, set the tone, and ask their permission from above to begin this show. So energy enters. And today we're going to be dealing with a very important topic. And I'm going to make sure that, you know, we get to the... get to the gusto of it, okay? All right, here we go. All right, here we go. And now I finally got it. Oh, yeah, there we go. Let's get it playing for you.
They went back to the village with the golden box. He set the golden box and gathered the children as you are gathered now. He opened that box and stories just well out of the box.
This is why we are here, because right here. Give it up for the young people today, baby. Give it up better than that, adults. No one was up to time. I'm Lord Christ Love. I'm the sister of the late Dr. Francis Christ Wellman, author of the ISIS Papers and the Christ Theory on Color Confrontation. We're Chicago people, and to honor her legacy, I have a book at the Soulful Chicago Book Fair, Saturday, July 16th, 2016.
Black Fairy is in this book. Young John Henry, everyone's familiar with Young John Henry, and Deadwood Picks, Black Culture. So these are three plays, but in this book, which has been used by
Joyce Clark. I'm 92 years old, and I have written books for black girls so that they know how important they are, and they learn the mystery to their history. I'm going to be at the Soulful Chicago Book Fair, and I want to see you there.
Saturday, August 3rd, 2019.
Tissues close at hand because, man, to see those elders that I know contributed to the Soulful Chicago Book Fair, I'm so thankful to them for being a part and just loving you. I'm a dealer for having that already done. Man, we a good team. Boy, we a good team. Thank you so much. And, yes, just got to say thank you and much blessing. Oh, yes, those are our literary, black literary ancestors. And I know they always supported me, and they definitely would approve of the work we got to do today. So we good with that. So thank you so much. I don't know. I might have to open my show with that every week just because. They can, so that they can bless the space. So anyway, you guys, thank you for being here today. We are going to deal with a book that I wrote because the topic is so heavy and it's so present in our community. One day it won't be, but that's the crusade that I'm helping to start. Yes, indeed, the stopping of beating our children. My first book is called Beating Black Kids. And Beating Black Kids is a book that I wrote because of a situation. I actually, I'm going to make sure this is framed up there. I had a stroke in 2009, and it left me in the hospital for 3 months. And when I had that stroke, I did not allow my daughter to come see me. That was for 3 months because I just didn't want her to see me in the hospital like that. I did not want to have that in her memory bank. So when I returned home and my daughter was around me, I had a friend watch over myself and my daughter. And my daughter expressed her anger one day, and she found some money. It wasn't a lot, but it was real money. And she ripped that bad boy up. We gonna rip up these dollars. And so the person who was watching over me and my daughter had suggested that I beat her, you know, just or spank her, as people like to say, to show her that she shouldn't do that. Now, that was just a foreign concept to me to hit my daughter because as an adult with a mind and common sense, you don't hit little people. You just don't. You a big old adult, and I'm going to hit her to show her what? No, my name is not Massa Nothing. We're not going to hit the girl. You know, I don't spend a lot of time in my book going through that, like going through, you know, you got to beat children, or it comes from slavery and all of that. I don't spend a lot of time with that because I want us to look at it in a new unit of time. And no matter where it comes from, it's the looking at oneself and assessing for yourself, is this the person that you want to leave in their memory, the person that brings them pain? As an adult, are you the parent? You know, our children are supposed to come home and feel peace and solace. And, you know, it's not all the time like, hello, baby. You know, it's not like that. But the point is that violence, the introduction of violence, particularly to oneself, should not come from home, right? Most of our children that are in the streets, that are experiencing violence, the first place they learned violence was in that house with their mama or their daddy, okay, using that belt or using that whatever it is. I have on the front of a T-shirt that we made. It says weapons of mass destruction, right? That's the extension cord, the 2x4, all of the things that are on the front of the book. We have just a problem with hitting children before we try something else. And so the name of the show is Raising Our Skills and Not Our Hands to Discipline Our Children. And so that's what we're going to roll with today. We're going to look at, if you want to call in, look, if you want to call in and say anything, like if you want to say, Azada, I don't agree with you. Now, sometimes you got to discipline your kid. So we're going to deal with this straight off the back. First of all, let me just deal with this. Some people are going to call in and try to step to me about the title being Beating Black Kids. So let's not take the attention off of the real issue, number one. Number two, the word kids. They say, try to say, that's an animal. You saying our kids. Treating them like animals. Be quiet. We're going to attack that, and then we can do the intellectual kids and children thing later. But we're not doing that today on Gathering of the Grails. We're talking about beating black kids, okay? And when we stop treating them like animals, then maybe we'll change it to beating black children, but I doubt it. But I'm just saying that title is what it is because it does what it does. You know, it makes us confront and tackle this topic, and so that's the main thing. So anyway, when my daughter ripped up that money and I got the message that I should spank my child to teach her a lesson, I was like, to her, I never said, why you do that? Mommy's not working. She needs that money. I didn't say any of that. I, as an adult that can discern, can see that my daughter is upset and that she wants her mother regular. And so that made me think about attacking the issue because it really was surprising to me that the viewpoint was to hit my child. And it was surprising, particularly when we all cultural and head wrapped and stuff. What are we doing? Are we trying to be kings and queens or are we beating children? They're not the same. They don't create the same, even in the person, right? And so I told my daughter one day, this is when I kind of started getting back to work. So we're talking about, I went in the hospital. I had a stroke in like November of 2008 or something like that. And it went into December, January, February. February, I kind of got out of the hospital and returned to work. And in that time, I was just thinking, I have to address this issue. So I told my daughter, I said, Mommy's going to write a book. And I said, I think I'll write a book on, you know, beating black kids. And when I took it to work, y'all, Lord, when I took it to work, it was, I told my coworkers, I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to write a book. So they were like, well, what's she going to write a book about? And I said, I'm going to write a book called Beating Black Kids. At the time, it was Beat Black Kids. And without even inquiring about my process, they started to get it in. I'm talking about they started telling their own stories of having been beaten. Thing was, they weren't crying. It wasn't lamentful. Like, it was mad laughing. Oh, my mother used to hit me with a spatula. My mother used to make me get wet when she beat me. My mother used to, and it was just all these stories. And those stories went on, y'all, for at least an hour. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, these adults are purging. They don't even see it. But it became clear to me that nobody ever dealt with the issue. And so you got these big adults coming up with the reality of being hit by their parents. So I want to give you a little bit of the book. I have a video version of me just explaining it instead of me sitting here trying to tell you. I just want to give you a little backstory. So let's take a look at that. All right. Okay, here I go. And I turned out
Bear the rod, spoil the child. Kids today need to be beat. What else am I supposed to do?
So bad.
Bougie gets on my last and I push up before I give you something to cry about. It was important that I write the book, Beating Black Kids.
Because I'm old-fashioned. And I believe, you know, you just can't let a child do anything.
I think it's okay, long as you don't abuse them.
It's needed to a certain point.
But what I saw was a collection of adults who were talking about a topic they had never really talked about before. And out came, my mama used to hit me with a spatula. My dad used to hit me with a belt. They used to make me get wet first. They used to put my face in a pillow and then spank me. Like, all of these different stories about how we have gotten beaten over time. And while there was a lot of laughter when those stories were being told, I could clearly see that there's a fine line between laughing and crying. And I knew that it was time for me to write a book about handling the situation. And so it's very obvious that this came from being a slave, from a slavery experience, and that whole spare the rod for the child. The shepherd did not beat the sheep with the rod. He guided them with the rod. And so it is just obvious that that came from a slavery experience, and we have to know how to differentiate those things and then just use some discernment in terms of doing what's best for our children and not breaking their spirit. With regards to how we discipline our children, first of all, I always tell people that discipline, if you look at the etymology of the word, it comes from disciplina, which is the Latin root meaning teach. And so when you discipline a child, you are teaching them. But when you use corporal punishment and you hit our children, you're not teaching them anything. They're actually not going to do it again out of fear. They're not doing it out of reason. The frustration that we feel from being powerless in a society and all of the things that come along with that, those issues are not to be taken out on our children when we get home. The definition of domestic violence says bringing harm to someone in your home or hurting someone in your home. So I want us to look at how we beat our offspring and how that's not giving them anything good. It's making them, quote-unquote, obedient. But that's what you make a dog. That's what you make an animal. But when you're dealing with someone of higher intelligence, use their intelligence and start to talk to them in ways that give them power, make them feel supported, listen to their ideas, and it'll just be an easier parenting road for you. There's a part of the brain called the regulatory part of the brain, and that's the part of the brain that helps you make decisions in times of adversity. Well, if they have that toxic stress before they eat before, that part of the brain does not develop. And so you're looking at a community full of people with no regulatory equipment. So we need to be bringing a different generation of people up with a different consciousness, make sure that the kids feel good and alive while they're living. Don't be upset after they die. And after there's all these senseless killings, let's treat them well while they're living, and then we'll see a different impact. The adults want to be upset, but you taught the children the violence when they were young, and it's the tools they have. I feel like, you know, hitting children is such a skill list. You need to foster behavior that builds them up, and that just changes the way, like, we talk to each other. Talk to your discipline, child. Because discipline, we're using it a lot to describe hitting children. And this is not directly to you, LaShawn, but it's to just all of us because I've heard it and it's personally. And discipline, a book is sold in Switzerland, Germany, Tasmania, Nigeria, Sudan, Canada, all over the world. And so people all over the world are telling me, as far as Germany, that my book is making a difference in the lives of the people that other people touch, but also in the lives of many parents and families who now no longer beat their children because they read my book. A lot of people ask me if I'm going to write another book, and I'm not ready to write another book, but what I will say is that there is a high demand for the book in Spanish and in French. My book is not punitive. My book is not accusatory, but there are solutions replete throughout the whole book. It really is just about being engaged with your child. They're not going to become respectful and trustworthy through you telling them and demanding it. They're going to become that way from observing you and then emulating what they see. And so in my parental code of ethics that I wrote, one of my favorite lines is, I will only seek excellence in my child if I am excellent myself. And so that's what I say is the number one key to make sure you have great children is checking yourself.
doggone. Sometimes it takes me seeing these things again to be like, wow, you know. And I'm really, really, really blessed in the creation of this book to people who actually saw and see the work and help me spread it. I want to give a shout out to my girl, Samaria Graham, who, what? That was Black Girl on Punky Brewster. That's my girl. We grew up together. But when she saw my book come out, she really assisted with the spreading of the word. And I'm talking about articles in the newspaper. She organized book discussions. And that's what this book warrants. I'm not here for you to come and meet the author. We're not interested in that at all. I need to tackle the topic because no one will confront it. It's like we don't want to incriminate our parents, but it's not about that. It's about doing better. It's about when you know better, you do better. Y'all notice, right, that that grandparents treat children, the grandchildren, better than they did their own children. And then you have the children saying a lot of times, if that was us back in the day, you would have beat us, blah, 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 blah. And we got it. But people learn better. And so what I want us to do is we don't really have time for people to get grown and then resent the fact that they got beat. You to start from parenthood treating children well, giving them the love they need. And for Black folks, I've had some people say about my book, this Russian lady was like, beating Black kids. I can't do the accent good. She said, beating Black kids. Why? They beat kids in Russia. They beat. I said, I will help you write beating Russian kids, girl, but I don't have no math on that. Like, I know about beating Black kids. And I know that, because people say, why just Black kids? I said, because I'm Black. Now, that's why I wrote it. Because we also might be the only race that treats it like it's something normal. I do know that other races do it in their rearing practice, but for us, it's a sliver of self-hatred in it, right? I love my daughter too much. And I have always been a big fan of her. And so we're not going to do that. You know, I'm not going to do that. Like, her pain in life is not going to come from her memory or mind. I'm just not going to do that because I am concerned about the type of adult that she is, right, because she's 20 now. When I wrote the book, she was around, I don't know, 6 or 7, something like that, maybe 6. But my thing was, no, you know, we're not going to do that. And so this topic of raising our skills and not our hands, this is not really a big debate. You can call in and debate with me if you desire. If you want, you know, say whatever. Look, there go the number at the bottom of the screen. Come on in and say a little something, something. But the reality is not for me to, you know, my intention is not to make you wrong. Even though it is wrong, don't get it twisted. People say, I'm not trying to tell you how to parent. I am trying to tell you how to parent, no question. Because we can do a better job at it. And as a race, we have to improve what we're doing so that we can get the type of child that has that discernment. Remember that regulatory equipment I just mentioned in that video? They need to be able to regulate and be able to attack with intelligence these forces that are against them. Not be reactionary and not be emotional. But when you're hitting children, that's what you're teaching. That disciplining is like an animal. That you would want to treat people like an animal. So my thing is, nah, don't do that. Let's do something better and let's improve. So we got a caller. I'm going to have him come on the line. Go ahead on and create that reality, Naima. Bring him on.
Admiral Nelson Bay.
Hey, Brother Nelson Bay. How are you?
Corporal, I'm doing great.
Okay, good.
I do think that corporal punishment is always an incorrect way of somehow disciplining recalcitrant children.
Mm-hmm.
I think that what children need is a mother and or father figure in their life, ideally their actual biological parents, who have an influence that is such that it commands the respect of a child in such a way that the child on his or her own behalf, the natural matter of course, is well behaved, shall we say. I remember the singular times when I was spanked by my mother and my father. On the occasion of being spanked by my father, the bedroom that I was consigned to with my brother John D. Nelson at 2616 South Parkway before it became King Drive back in the 60s. On a Saturday afternoon by 2 o'clock, the room must be clean, but my brother John D. Nelson is a compulsive hoarder his entire life, and he and I were sharing the same room. So there is no way I could clean up that room. I think that by the time a child is as young as 3 years of age, he or she should really have their own room if they prefer to live with a younger or older sibling. That's fine in the same room. But the ideal thing is for every child to have his or her own individual room from the age of three. And that way, the child has no excuse for not maintaining the cleanliness, the tidiness, the orderliness of their living space. And then that would have never happened to me if I had my own room and left to my own devices. That room would be in perfect condition. Every time my father would have come home to inspect my room and make everything in order. He was so frustrated by the fact that I was unable to maintain that home because my brother John was 19 months my senior. He's 19 months older than I am. Being the compulsive hoarder from the time of his early age, I just was not able to clean that room. Mm-hmm. And my father was so frustrated, he beat me with a belt, and that was so wrong, I felt so violated, because I knew I didn't deserve it, because I was literally unable to maintain the cleanliness, the tidiness, my room as a young boy. Mm-hmm. And the single time that my mother spanked me, she was wrong in doing that. She got the idea from some silly person who put that idea, that slave mind, in her mind. And if my mother had not heard this silly woman or whoever it was that put that idea in her mind about spare the rods, spoil the child, or other such stupidity like that, my mother never would have made the mistake of spanking me. I never had to be spanked ever in life.
Right.
No one have I created thee, yet thou hast abased thyself. Why hast thou abased thyself? Rise then to that for which thou wast created.
Yeah, Brother Bay, you are a sane man.
I'm Nelson Bay.
Nelson Bay. Got you. Nelson Bay, let me say thank you because you're so clear and articulate about your experience, and I want to thank you for sharing that experience with us. But not only sharing it, I want to point out to the audience, this brother is obviously an adult, but this is what we carry with us, this is what we leave in our children, because no matter how old we get, we remember those experiences. And we remember what should have been done instead. Like we think, even at that time, we're thinking through a lot of things. But what I don't want to come about is the resentment that some people end up feeling. Because, see, you usually don't respect people that hit you, but we do feel compelled, of course, we love and respect our parents. But as parents, when we create pain, it doesn't do well by us and our children and our relationship. So, brother, I do want to say thank you for sharing that with us and made very clear, like you said, none of that should have happened because I didn't do those things and it wasn't my fault. And even, you know, people try to say things like, oh, no, I was bad. I should have gotten beaten. No. The adult needs to have a stature where they can get a point across without having to be physical. So thank you, brother, for sharing that. And, yes, you are right. We should not be using corporal punishment. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for listening.
Yes, I appreciate you. I might take you on a roll with me. Thank you. All right. So, you guys, you can see, you know, this is not rocket science. I had one brother at an event one time. He told me, he was like, what did he say? Oh, yeah, my mother, you know, I love my mother, and she spanked me, but I deserve those beatings, you know. So I said, so what were you saying when she was doing it, though? That's what you're saying now, but what were you saying or thinking when she was actually hitting you? And he said, oh, I wanted to kill her. Yeah, that's the emotion that gets suppressed is what we felt at the time. When we out there getting hit, and my mother wasn't a hitter, so let me be clear, because she's going to be like, why do you make them beat what they got in you? I only got two beatings and a slap, but we'll talk about that later. But that time that the hitting is happening to the child, they are feeling confused, hurt. They're not like, oh, yeah, this is great. Oh, yeah, hit me right there. That feels great. No, I'm really learning something. No, they're not. They're resenting you. They think of the ways they're going to kill you. They're upset. They're surprised in a bad way. Like, it's not creating a good example, nor is it creating a good emotion. So I could sit here all day saying what I think. But I actually had a test. Now, I was a teacher for many years, but I'm a mom. Ow. I'm a mom. Look at this face. Look at this. I'm a mom. This is my daughter. So I do have my daughter on the line, and I good to just hear from her. Like, don't hear from me. I be telling adults, the parents, they always want to answer for the child. You ask the child something, then they're going to come answer. No, be quiet. Let the child answer. So let's bring on my daughter. Hey, Pei-Pei. Hi, my baby, booby, mommy, baby. She's not a baby. She's 20 years old. So I asked my daughter to call in today because, I mean, why hear from me? Hear from the girl who I raised. And I ain't going to say I'm a perfect parent, but I'm close, though. And I only say that because, you know, she sees me at my worst and sees me when I'm not all together. But in general, patience, she got the name Patience on it. She was very patient in my stomach. She didn't give me any morning sickness or anything. So she's just like that as a child. So, Pei-Pei, let me just ask, what would you say is, I guess, like a highlight of yours over time, I guess, looking at life, of not getting hit?
Just getting treated like a person, like I'm not afraid of you, and I think that's a big part of our relationship. A lot of people I know are, like, scared of their parents, or they, like, resent them because of what happened to them as children, and I don't do that. And I think that's really nice, and I'm always saying that I'm glad you're my mother, because a lot of people don't have a relationship with their parents.
Well, what's he talking about? Sometimes I ask her certain things, like, how do you know that? She's like, you're my mother. You know, and so this communication that I have, like, there are times that my daughter may not have made me happy about a thing, but let me see if you are going to say what I'm thinking. I'm just curious. What do I say if I'm displeased with something that you're doing? Uh-oh, this is a trick question.
That's your life.
Say it again.
That's your life.
Yep, that's what I say, y'all. I tell my daughter, you know what? This is your life. You can do whatever you desire, and I'm going to support you. But when you start doing things that trickle over into making my life not good, that's when we got to confront it, right? And so what would you say, patients, that your experience has been with your peers? Like you told me of a couple of experiences maybe that your peers had a response to you not being spanked or beaten. Do you know what I'm talking about? If so, please discuss.
Well, first of all, I want to say that I also say that to, like, to everybody now.
Wait. Say it again. What do you say?
I also say that to, like, to everybody because you say it to me, and everybody thinks it's so funny. But, yeah.
Interesting.
But,
I'm a trendsetter.
My peers have said, like, oh, you've never gotten hit before? Oh my gosh, that's crazy. Like, okay.
Right.
That's crazy, but.
Yeah, so it's interesting because her peers are approaching her like, you never got beat? Like, they have no concept of that. Like, you've never gotten hit by your mom. And so it's just a skill set, y'all, that I'm not going to display because it's not, that's a skill-less behavior. When you have to hit little people, you're showing your skill set. And that you don't have, don't come for me now, boo, you know, but just look at yourself, you know, and just check yourself, I should say, and make it so that, you know, I want to be exemplary to my daughter so that when she looks at me, she sees something that she might want to emulate at some point. I do see her now as a young woman. She's a teacher, like her mama was a teacher, and she when she leave that house to go to work, sometimes she looked like me. So, you know, nobody's trying to do that, but you're going to make whatever impact on your child that you make based on what they observe you do. And so anything you want to say in particular, about the topic and just the fact that your mother has this viewpoint about not beating black kids. People say that sometimes. They go, how come you didn't name this book Don't Beat Black Kids? I said, because then you wouldn't buy it. You'd be like, yeah, that's what I do, and then you wouldn't buy it. But people buy it because they want to know, what is this? And it really has helped. So anything else you want to say, baby, before you go?
I think just like treating your children with the same respect you would treat anybody with. I mean, working with kids, it's like the same way because all of my students love me because I treat them like they're people and I'm not yelling at them or anything. I just treat them like they're my equals most of the time. So it's like, I think it's fun to talk to kids like they're your equals because you see how funny they are. So, I mean, to build that relationship, just treat your children how you want to be treated.
I love it. Thank you, patience, for getting up early for mama.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Have a good day, my love. And you guys, if you are watching, great. That means you're on my Facebook page and you're seeing this video. Or you can go to our YouTube channel, Soulful Chicago Book Fair, and you'll see this as well. So there's a little bit of example. I don't know. Are you still there, patience? Maybe not. Anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, you are good. This is the last thing I wanted. Some parents say things like, what do you do instead then? What do you want to do? What do you do? And my thing is, yo, you, and this is a chapter in the book because it's called You Got Chosen, this particular chapter. But my thing is, if your child chose you, then what did they choose you for? And that's the thing you want to build. What do they choose you for? And so my daughter has been, she's played the cello, the violin. She's going to modeling school. But one day, my daughter likes money. We want to get her a lot of it. But one day she said to me, she said, Mommy, I worked in a very affluent neighborhood in New York at the time, Church Scientology over there on Park 65 East 82nd Street, I believe. I think that's the address. But anyway, we were in that neighborhood, and Pepe said to me, she like 6 or 7, I think she was 6, but she said, Mommy, what I got to do to get all this money? Like, she's looking at the rich people around.
And I said, you need to change with people. That's a big enough game so that everybody can be involved. And so we kind of talked through that a little something. But I was an author of this book, Feeding Black Kids. And so Pepe decided, yeah, we both collaborated, and we got the book Urban Girl Adventures, which is her book. Her book came out when she was 7 years old, because that's when she asked to make that money. And you can go to urbangirladventures.com and check it out. But the book was, the words are from me, but many of the images are from patients. Patients, what are you now professionally, patients, at 20 years old?
I'm a photographer.
My daughter is a photographer. She's a professional photographer. You can literally go to her website, patientsphotography.com. I'll put it on the screen shortly. And you can also, like, she has clients. She got clients. She got contracts and all of that. And so the point being, finding a skill that you want to expose your child to that they can use in the world. And what's your feedback about, and I'll let you go after that, pay, because we know, I do an interview with my daughter all day. What's your viewpoint about photography and your place in it?
I love what I do, and I think about that all the time, and I say that to myself all the time, that I love what I put out to the world, and, like, when I have a job, I've always said that I don't want to be miserable at my job. I don't want to hate my job. And that even with teaching, like, I love teaching because all the kids are so funny. And I love photography because I feel like a certain type of, I don't think it's bliss, but, like, any time a vision comes out, like, perfectly into what I'm shooting, I just, like, it's a overwhelming feeling of just, like, greatness. And I love the way, like, people react to my photography. It just makes me feel amazing. So.
It makes you feel euphoric, patient. Euphoric. Anyway, thanks, Pay. I really love you a lot. And I'm happy you chose me, baby. Happy you chose this mama. And as a result of my appreciation, guys, I just am a good mom to my daughter. We laugh together and all of that. So happy you picking up some stuff. I love you, girl. So, okay, peace. So, you know, I want to make something clear, too. My daughter was saying something about treating your kids, treating children as equals. Uh-oh, some of y'all out there, y'all be having a noodle neck on that one. Y'all be like, dang, I ain't your equal. Okay, check this out. So y'all don't have a clear understanding of the word friend. I'm going to read the definition real quick. So the friend says, a person attached to another by feelings of affection or personal regard. Friend. A person who gives assistance, a supporter. A person who is on good terms with another. A person who is not hostile. Yo, check it out. I'm going to be my daughter's friend all day long. You want to be your child's friend. You just don't care for being their peer. Their peer. Because their peers do stuff like wear the same clothes and the same slang and whatever, the things that we may not want to do. But being your child's friend all day long, baby, all day long. Because everything I read is a thing, believe in. And if you don't want to be your child's friend, you won't. And guess what? Coming to you when they need solace or advice, they may not do it. They'll go somewhere else where they're treated with respect, where they're treated, like my daughter said, I dealt with her like a regular person. And the respect, you know, she got shown respect just because I admire her. That's something I want y'all to do. Make a list of the things you admire about your child. I think I'm going to have to put that on the screen. Make a list of the things you admire about your child. Because, let me write that. Let me see. Make a list. Of what you admire about your child, girl.
girl, put that up there, make a list. Because that's what they're going to carry with them. That's what they're going to take with them. You know what I'm saying? Make a list of what you admire about your child. And then you need to let them know. I'm always, always, always telling people, my daughter, Pay Boogie, what I love. She's an incredible, that's what the majors think. She's an incredible vocalist. She's a phenomenal photographer. But just other things, like, you know, you're beautiful, or how'd you get that smart? And I'm not saying it to be patronizing. I'm saying it because I really do admire her as a person. And so give a call in. I'm going to give you the number right now to call in. It's right there at the bottom. You can call in and give me whatever you want to say about the topic. But more than that, you know, I could say a lot to parents, right? I could say a lot about you. And some people get punitive. I'm not going to do that. Not interested in that. But let's not act like we weren't children ourselves. And we remember what we used to want. We remember some people don't have children because they don't want to mimic what they know from their parents. That's just a reality. Some people do want to have children so that they could be different than their parents. I love, yo, my grandmother, boop, 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 deuces. I'm really like her a lot. But we're not going to act like he didn't use some corporal punishment on my uncles. Not really on my mom, right? But my mom, I've heard her say that when she had children, she didn't want to mirror that. Now, to my brother, I already know, he done got some spankings, that's for sure. But when it comes to how she thought and processed and what she didn't want to create, in us, it's a lot of what she watched as growing up herself. And I don't know how her sons ended up feeling, but the violence she gave to my uncles, I know where the violence came from in terms of her own exposure to violence. So I just want to share this video real quick because it's something that I made that focuses on pretty much the deeper issue. So let's just check it out. I've heard a lot about the things that are being done with legislation and making sure that states and countries ban corporal punishment and things of that nature. But if you do not go and talk to their mother or the father about their innate views and their innate feelings about children, you can pass all the laws you want, but you're not changing the fiber of the society. The laws will be changed overnight if you have a rally of parents to back it. But the reason you don't have a rally of parents to back it is because they still have these deep-seated feelings of resentment towards kids or whatever they were raised with. I was beaten and it made me turn out better. They have that belief. So that's what has to be attacked. That's what has to be handled, is the fact that they actually believe that they deserve the beating and that they're going to give more beatings because it made them better. My approach is to attack the pain, not in a way that's like evaluative. Let's look at that. I don't care about that. Nobody wants to feel like that, like they're being researched. I'm talking about, did it work for you? When I do my workshops, I have people actually look at their first exposure to violence, and I have them draw what their first exposure to violence is, and you'd be very surprised what they come up with. And when they look at it themselves, see, they blocked it out for so many years, they can return to it and see it, they don't like it. And so then I have them address, well, what would have been better? And then they conjure up the better things. And after that, they go, oh, and they don't want to do those things anymore. One lady said to me in a workshop, thank you for letting us tell our story because no one ever asked us. That was, like, amazing. She's a parent. Nobody ever asked. They just want to condemn the parents for what they're doing, but you're not asking them the questions that will help you see why they're doing it.
like you want to answer, but you're not really asking the questions to get the answer. You're just condemning people for their actions. But when you really listen to these people, you know why they do it, and then you know how to fix it. Is that? Man. See? So when I do this work, it's really, that's when I talk about intention, it's really not about children, don't hit children. That is obviously what I'm focusing on. But I am for real, I deal with parents. I'm interested in the healing process of parents and parents-to-be, right? Because you have all these programs for children, but then they got to go back home to these cuckoo bird parents, right? If we act in that way, right? So my thing is to really work with parents because no one really does that. No one really focuses on them without telling them what to do. We're not telling you what to do. When I do my workshops, I'm really doing things that can enhance the parental process because it's not easy. And until my book, it didn't come with a guide, right? A guide on what you can do. My book has little keys all throughout. And when you find a key, that's the solution that you can use, right, to better your parenting process. And I'm telling you right now, I put all these quotes up this week, but one of them says that my book, Beating Black Kids, ends generational curses. It does a lot of things. It improves family relationships. I had one woman tell me straight up that my book improved her marriage because I think she was in an interracial marriage, but the father, she was black, father's white, and I think the father's viewpoint was don't hit the children. Right. And her thing was like, you don't know what you're talking about. That's what we do. You know, that's happening. But she read my book and she chose to change her viewpoint. Right. Change her viewpoint. And so the next time her child got in trouble and he came home, she told me that they went in the room, but instead of spanking him, they sat down and she hugged him and she asked him the situation and made it comfortable for him to talk about what he was experiencing to even do whatever he did. And so it improved the relationship that she had with her husband. It improved the relationship that she had as a mom. And that's what we're talking about, raising our skills, right? So that is a reality. So I think we got a caller on the line. So let's see what the deal is. What's up? Is that Reverend Plump? Did I hear that? What did I hear? Yep. Yeah. Go ahead on. Give it to me. Reverend Plump, are you there?
Oh, I apologize. I was on mute. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Come on, brother, with it. What's up? What you want to say about the book?
Oh, well, I want to say that, you know, it is indeed opportunity for our brothers and sisters to read the book and to enjoy the opportunity that, you know, beating children is not a good thing. It is nothing but a slave mentality way of life that was introduced in terms of policing, you know, the children. And that was the concept that was created through slavery. So that's, you know, I would say, one of the good morals of the book that we should stop beating our children. It should not exist at all because it creates a emotional disrespect to the child as well as disrespect to the family and the community.
Absolutely, brother.
That's what I want people to understand. Sometimes it takes us a longer time to learn that. But all this stuff we talking about what people do to us, oh, we can combat all that nonsense if we have the capacity to do it. And a lot of times, you know, I tell people, we teach our children how to take authority. Always want them to take authority. But my thing is we need to teach our children how to be authorities. That's a different thing. To be authorities where they can come in this world. That's right. They can come in this world and run things. Run it, baby. We used to run the world as a people, the whole world. Don't get me started on no mores and no math and teaching people how to start fire and seeing stars with our naked eye. But the reality is that our children will not reclaim that beautiful inheritance if they don't have the mental capacity to do it. And so, yeah, we got to stay strong and continue with this viewpoint. Thank you, Reverend Plum, for coming on and sharing your views with the world. I know you're a community man, but the fact that you know, are saying that message, a lot of people know you, they will listen, you know, because you have that viewpoint, and let them know. You bought my book at my last book fair. Thank you so much, and continue to spread that knowledge.
And we will, and happy belated Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Birthday Kwanzaa, and we celebrate all year round Dr. King's way of life in terms of his spiritual and moral relationship with God, family, and the community.
Absolutely.
And I was with Dr. King on his I Have a Dream speech.
Oh, yeah.
August 28th. 1963 in Washington, D.C.
Wow.
God bless you.
Okay, Brother P. Thank you so much.
We love you.
I love you fully. Peace. Thank you. Peace. Yes, indeed, y'all. This is about changing viewpoints, shifting a paradigm. I'm into uplifting Black children so strongly. They're dying. That's why I said in that video. When they dead, we want to make a memorial and talk about them. No, if you think that they're great, go ahead and let them know that they're great right now while they're living and make them smile. I know how to make young people smile. I do it all the time. Yup, love it. It's just communicating with them. And believe it or not, when I do these workshops out here, man, I have these adults illustrate their earliest moments of violence, and they almost always from their parents, right? But I also have them illustrate thereafter what should have happened. And man, what should have happened? It's always communication, almost always. I want to deal with some of these comments that people have said. And Susan said it harms the human DNA as well. You better say that, Susan Essential. The DNA. I mean, come on, y'all. Why are we passing down self-hate? Why are we doing that? That's ridiculous. We're not going to do that. And then we got my girl, Zelda. Zelda said, grand rising, beautiful queen teacher. Patience hit the nail on the head. Yes. I'm not sure what point she made that hit the nail on the head, but you can tap me that, too, so we can let people know. Did y'all hear my baby? Y'all heard my baby speak? What? Now, this is what I'm talking about. When you raise children civilly, you bring civility into parenting. You treat them right? You give them respect. They actually can articulate their ideas. I didn't have to be afraid when I had her come on the phone that she was going to go and give me one-word answers, because sometimes you ask teenagers, so what do you think it is? And they go, I don't know. You know, they don't really give a lot. But when your child has watched you be articulate, then they can be articulate and bring it on in, right? So what I want to do real quick, I think that, you know, you seeing me putting this message out to the world is stronger than me sitting here talking. So I just want to share when I was on ABC, because I think that it was a great interview. And you're going to hear a little bit more about what I have to say about the book and its impact. So let's take a look. Thank you.
Garland will meet the author of the controversial book, Beating Black Kids. Asada Kirkland says that no parent should ever spank their child. So we asked the New Yorkers how they feel about spanking.
I think it's not right because they're not going to get anything out of it. They're still going to do the same thing over. Doesn't make sense to them.
I think it's okay, long as you don't abuse them. I don't think spanking should harm them.
I am actually against it because I feel like I think it's the parents admitting that they don't have any other tool in their toolbox.
Yes, it goes both ways.
Okay.
When you cannot reason with them, you know. It's like when you, like a baby, and you can say, no, don't do that. You know, and sometimes some children doesn't listen, and you go, that's him, and they listen.
I disagree. I disagree. I think if you want to teach a kid how to be nonviolent, you should start at home by not hitting them.
Speaking on the form of this, I just think it's unnecessary now because our kids are so much more evolved. They're so much smarter. They take things in totally different than, you know, years ago. So I think that it's just totally unnecessary.
I feel that it's needed to a certain point.
Well, you know, I'm like this. I'm old-fashioned. And I believe, you know, you just can't let a child do anything that they want to do. I also believe what the Word of God says, spare the rod and spoil the child. This is why today's society is what it is, because you let your children get away with it.
I don't think it should be severe. Like, they shouldn't overdo it.
When we come back, we'll meet the author of Beating Black Kids. She says parents who hit aren't helping their children. Asada Kirkland, the author of Beating Black Kids, has spent the last 15 years working with children, most of that time teaching. And now she's working as a consultant, and she also conducts parenting workshops. She is, of course, also a mom. Thank you so much, Asada, for being here.
Thank you so much,
this
Sandra.
This is the book, Beating Black Kids.
Definitely.
That title really gets people talking.
Exactly.
What inspired you to write it? Why do you feel like it was a subject that needed to be addressed?
Definitely. What happened was I had a stroke and was out of commission for like 2 months, and people had to watch my daughter. And they did a good job, but the issue about how you discipline children came up because she was under another person's care. And in that conversation, I found that the belief was that you can still hit the child, even though this person was a progressive person. And I said to myself, okay, I didn't know that still existed in people's minds, and woke up the next day with the idea, you got to write a book, and went out. When I returned to work, like 2 months after, there was a maintenance man, cook, and an administrator at the table, and I told them what the title of the book, and they went on for 3 hours with stories of their own about this experience, and I thought, oh, my God, I have to address this, and I wrote the book because we're purging. Like, we really need to handle the issue.
Why do you think spanking is such a controversial topic, especially among Black people? I mean, honestly, I was spanked. Most of my friends
sure.
will tell you they were spanked, and some of them will say they were beaten. I may have been beaten.
Sure.
Why do you think that it's something that persists and that people have such a wide-ranging opinion about it?
Because the people, when people ask a lot of times, well, why does the book say beating Black kids? Mm-hmm. Everyone gets beat. But in our culture, we act like it's a cultural norm, like this is what you're supposed to do. I don't think there's a Black comedian out that doesn't laugh about the issue of how we've been beat. But it clearly comes from being slaves in America. And for people to say, oh, I'm not an African-American, okay, colonialism. It all stems from being beat and disciplined with violence. And then we internalize it. You hear people back in the day say, well, I had to beat him so master wouldn't get him. And today's correlation is, well, I have to beat him or the police will get him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing. So it's a derivative of that experience.
And your claim in this book, you say point blank that that is not a tradition that should be passed down. There are better ways to deal with children.
Oh, definitely. I mean, we can look at how we interact with each other as adults. And when we have differences, we don't just start up and fight each other. No, we communicate and we look at each other's viewpoints, and we can do the same thing with children, but the first step is to value what a child has to say. And that's where you get that children should be seen and not heard mentality, and it creates this chasm between adults and children where you really don't get what they're experiencing, how they're feeling, and when you strike, that's the memory you're leaving in our children. So we just have to deal with that because our children have the memories of violence from the people that love them and to handle things in the world well.
And you have children of your own.
I sure do.
Yeah, a child.
I have a child. Her name is Patience.
Have you ever spanked Patience?
Absolutely never. Patients can honestly look at the objects on the front of my book and say, what are those? Like, she has never been hit, because I feel like I'm her biggest fan, literally. And she's not baby, but I admire her so much. I would never have her have the memory of me hitting her, because I need her to trust me as a parent. So you don't trust people that hit you, believe me. So my thing is to just foster growth in her and help her see guidelines and do well in the world and give her good things that make her feel good.
In fact, one of the things in the book is you assert that spanking does foster, that violence does foster other issues in the child, among them loss of trust.
Sure, definitely. Well, when you hit a child, you are teaching a lesson. And when they go out in the world and try to get things that they want, and let's say are denied those things, they use what was used at home. They use the violence. Because instead of the violence, we could have been using negotiation skills. How do you teach a kid how to negotiate?
But what do you say to a parent that says, I am not negotiating with a five-year-old?
Right. And I tell them, well, you better be ready for the result of that. Because what you're doing is you're making this child, you're not preparing them for the skill that they need to negotiate. And I'm talking about even negotiate a salary.
So what do you think the result, what's your assertion that the result will be of a parent that says, no, I'm going to spank her bottom, I'm not negotiating with her, and that's the way I'm handling it. What is it you believe the parent will likely see down the road?
Down the road, you just, it manifests in a lot of different ways, because every child is different. But you get a child who may not express everything they want in across from them, who you want the parents to be who they trust first. But you get a child who doesn't know how to express themselves fully. And I'm not saying this is not theory. This is actuality. I had a grown man, he had to be about 6'5", talk about his fear of speaking in front of people, because when he was little, the way he would get spanked, whipped, popped, whatever you want to call it, it's all the same thing, it made him go in.
So
he became introverted. Yeah, now as a big grown man, he doesn't have the confidence to speak up.
Yeah. Do you think that happens? Do you see some of that in school fighting? Fighting at school, they're expressing them. They're doing at school what's been done to them.
Well, it's
and
the communication
the way they need to way to communicate.
It's the communication they know. You know, it's really not a big thought around, oh, this is all I know. But it's they don't know anything else. So when you want something and you can't get it, you strike out. Or if you don't want to hear it, you strike out. It's the lesson we teach, as opposed to teaching something that is empowering or some other skill that really boosts their self-esteem. And I tell adults, if you have to hit a child to discipline them, then you need to get your skills up.
One of the other things that I liked about the book is you talk to experts, you hear from experts in gambling situations. You also hear people's stories about how they were spanked. And then what I found just really interesting, this list of objects of things that people have been beaten with.
Sure.
Why include that? I mean, I have to put these glasses on.
Please
and read
do.
Some of those things to you. Hands, feet, vacuum cleaner cord, spatula, hot spatula, wire hanger, shoes, trophies, telephone, Hot Wheels track. Why include this list in the book?
You know, as I interviewed people for the book, they voluntarily told me the things that they were beat with. And I still get people telling me, you forgot to put the clog shoe. You forgot to put, I could do one book on just objects alone. But I wanted the chapter to be just a list, because I don't have much to say about it. Because when you read that list, it is outrageous that we hit our children with those things and that we've adopted the habit of hitting the people we love with these particular objects. So I put it in there like that because I needed to really hit home. When you see trophies and a phone, and can you imagine being hit with a phone or hit with a big metal trophy, things like that? We have to get that together because we're leaving marks in our children.
Now, we said before that people have questioned why you said beating black kids specifically on the topic. You're African American,
mm-hmm.
So in part I can understand you're wanting to speak to,
sure,
to your people. But is it, do you feel, a bigger issue among black people of color than others?
It's a bigger issue for black people primarily because we use it as sort of our shield. We want our kids to fear us. It's sort of like not having power in the real world. We exert power over our children. And other races don't really have that phenomenon. I don't care where they come from. They may not speak English, but they will open up a restaurant or open up a newsstand or whatever, and they have these different systems in place that build the family up. But we don't have that in place.
So when people say to you, well, I got beaten, I got spanked as a child, and I turned out okay.
Yeah, they say that, and I say, no, you didn't. And I often say, well, we're products of lynching also, and that doesn't, what does that mean? You understand, violence doesn't, it didn't create anything good in us. It left a lot of bad memories in us, and I can talk to several adults today that talk about how getting hit by their parents or aunts affected them or their inability as adults.
Now, you have a parental code of ethics,
yes,
that you suggest the parenting. It's a list of things, and one of them in particular is that people need to find essentially another way of discipline, another discipline solution.
Sure.
What are some of those other ways? You said negotiate with the child.
Right. I think one of the biggest things is to be engaged. And if you don't know what the word, look that up, please, because that's very important. If you're engaged with a child, like if he's playing video games all day and you have a complaint about that, my question would be, well, have you played yet? What level are you on? You know, a lot of my students will say, Ms. K, do you have Facebook? And I go, I have more friends than you, my dear. And it's sort of like you get in their world and you become interesting. I think one of the biggest problems is that a lot of adults are boring. And we need to kind of look back to when we were children. Were the adults interesting? No, they're just like adults. So you have to get in their world a little bit and get engaged and really get them interested in what you have to say, or else you will sound like the Charlie Brown teacher. Womp, 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 you know, just boring everybody to death.
So it sounds to me what you're really hoping to do here is to get people to think, but to also get them to have a conversation about this issue. You've, I think, have some ads in Harlem.
Right.
Essentially calling people's attention to the issue.
Definitely. There are trash cans that line Harlem in different places, and I chose to get the book publicized on those trash cans because it's 24 hours. It's unconventional. It makes people say, what is that? And I have taped people's reactions to those trash cans, and I just want it to be in the middle of the Black community so they can really see it and feel it and talk about it. And I want us to go beyond talking about it, but to implement what's in the book, because that is, it's a book where things can be implemented. And I put those little key, I put little keys next to every solution so that people can actually see. And it's not really like a doing this, like put them in the corner, never that. But one of the points I love on the parental code of ethics is I will only seek excellence in my child if I am excellent myself. That to me just says it all. Like, stop wanting things in them if you are not exemplary of those things.
That does sound like words to parent by.
I love it.
That's out of Kirkland. Thank you so much for being with us. The book is imminently readable. I did mark pages, and I am planning to send a copy of this to my mother.
I love it. Thank you. It's never too late.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bump, 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 bump. I done lost some weight. No, anyway, yes, indeed, man, what a blessing. I don't even know how I got that, but the point is, you know, let's get this word spread. I do see that we have Viata on the line. Let's bring her on and see what's going down. What's up, Viata?
Grand rising, my sister. That was a really great interview. I was so enjoying all her questions and your answers. That was great. And I totally agree that your book is probably the best book out there to initiate thought-provoking ideas, thought-provoking energy about this subject, because a lot of Black parents didn't think there were any options other than spanking. And you know, I think about that because of slave mentality and practice. But I have two grandchildren now, and their parent, my son and his ex-wife, they came out right out, no spanking, because their mother was abused by her father really bad. My son didn't get a lot of spanking, but he agreed with his wife, yeah, we're not going to spank them. So we got one child. My granddaughter, who's nine, very agreeable, respectful most of the time, and you can tell her something once, she'll do it. Grandson, on the other hand, you tell him something once, he ignores you, twice, he ignores you. The third time, he's like, my father was a football coach, and he always taught his three girls that from his experience, there's three types of people. The first one, you can tell him once, he'll do something. The second one, you can to a third one, he would say, you have to hit him upside the head before they'll do something. So we grew up with that thought and that mentality that you're going to have these three types of people in your life, and or your children. athlete, but he was a football coach. So that's how he dealt with his high school students and philosophy in general.
Right.
But, maybe a question to you is, when you have that third type of child in your life, like my grandson, you have to be creative, I know, but there's my philosophy now is a pinch. He does well with a pinch, and then he's in great order. He's good for like a couple of months, and then he'll try again. But here's the other, my final thought is respect. Minister Clark brought the right word into it because I was triggering my boyfriend a lot with anger, a little anger and resentment because he was beating something awful. He, all those tools you mentioned in the book, probably all of them were used by his aunt who raised him. Mm. So it became, I had a red flag thinking about your book and his life, and I said, every time I trigger you, it's because you feel disrespected, whether it's challenging his intellect or challenging him in some other conversation that my religion or whatever came to really understand why he gets triggered. So I see now adults get triggered a lot because they feel disrespected just as they had experienced when they were children. The whippings, the spankings was disrespectful, but now even with my grandson, I have to teach him respect goes both ways. You've got to learn how to respect your parents, your grandparents, and I'm going to in turn respect you and not bring out an iron cord or a switch. So what are your thoughts about that?
Oh, and thank you for sharing that story. The thing is, the third child, I love them, baby. I love the quote-unquote problem. Right. I used to teach in an alternative high school, so all my students were, house arrest, dropped out of school, what have you. But those children require skills. As parents, as adults, we got to be skilled because they are on another wavelength. It ain't even bad. It might be too advanced for us, but we gotta get our skill set up because the pinch is gonna make them. Stop, because they don't want to be pinched again. But it's not going to get to that root. And if we as parents don't get to the root of what we're seeing, my slap and two spankings that I got in the world, they were all for nasty sexual things that I was doing. Too little, whether it was writing the wrong words and it was sexual or it was a keychain and the people was naked, whatever. But the thing about it is, I got spankings for those things, but because there was no communication, nobody caught the molester that made it, so I knew those things. You understand? They missed it because the spanking might have made me not have that behavior again, but it didn't catch his butt before he was dead. He was dead by the time they found out. So we're missing issues when we hit because there's some things underneath the issues. They may not like your man. They might not like what you're doing as an adult, but they can't say it because children should be seen and not heard. And so they take extra skill. They take the respect to communicate enough to get to the root. Sometimes they don't want to share it. They feel we're corny. But if you are keen as an adult, you will find it. We can find it, and we can find what makes them tick and make them feel appreciated. That's what they want to feel, appreciated. Respect is not a noodle neck thing. We think respect is this or whatever, and that's not to say you personally. But respect comes from the heart because you admire the person. So find things to admire about them, let them know about it, let them feel good about themselves. So the self-love will create better behavior. So there's that. Thank you so much, Sister Viata, for calling in.
Let me point out one more thing about tablets and the things that we give children, right? Because they get a lot of that from their parents. And when you say appreciate it, it's almost like parents give these kids these tablets to play the game, to do whatever, because they're bored or they don't have the energy or whatever. But I think maybe that's a sign for them that you don't appreciate me. When you give them a child a tool like that, hugging and talking, interacting with them, maybe that's what's at the root of that third child. You don't appreciate me.
It could be. I mean, I don't know. I can't. Everything is different, but when it comes to the way that these young people communicate today, they need devices. They swipe. They do. And we got to step it up. We the ones that don't have email or I don't have social media. Yeah, okay. Okay, Dark Ages, stop playing. You know, we are not relevant to them. You know, we're not relevant to them because they are digital and they are. So we need to step up the game and make it so that we can speak the same language as them because we're improving our skills, and that's kind of how I see that. But we have somebody in the studio, so I do want to thank you, Sister Vieta. I want to bring this sister on before we leave today. And you got it. And this sister, y'all, is rocking. All right. This sister is rocking in Virginia. That's my girl. That's my girl. Her name is Ashley Angulo, and she has an organization called Inspire Family Empowerment. I'm bringing on my baby today. Hey, mama.
Morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Welcome.
My phone is acting up. Thank you for having me this morning.
Yeah, come on, girl. We talked about it. We got to do a show, me and you. So just tell them a little bit. We don't have a whole lot of time, but tell them a tad about what you do and why you connected to me.
Yeah, so I started Inspire initially because of my own experience being a mom. I was a single parent. I have 10 kids at the moment. Eight are my biological children. And I am a parent who was trying to heal my own trauma and also parent my kids at the same time. And trying to learn how to do that, I really found that the resources that were out there for trying to be an intentional parent were very Eurocentric. And as a mom who has tried to, you know, consciously parent my kids in a domestic violence shelter in, you know, situations that were not optimal, I really felt like I was reading parenting books and I was looking for resources. And the suggestions were things like, well, increase your nanny's hours, you know, or, you know, it was things that just don't apply to us. And I'm like, I'm in the hood. Like, I'm by myself. I have all of these children with all of these needs. You telling me to go get a nanny? That's not realistic advice. Like, how do I do this? How do I work on myself so I can then parent my children effectively? And so when I saw Beating Black Kids, I was like, oh my gosh, it's a black mom who has the same vision. I was really excited about that. In the neighborhood, I'm actually in my transitional house building right now, and the neighborhood that we have our transitional housing program in, they're trying to gentrify it, but it's a black neighborhood, and we have families here who have generations and generations of dysfunction, and it's just because they don't know. Nobody has been like, hey, there's a different way. You could do this instead. And so by bringing you to our resource expo last year, my goal with the expo was to create an environment where people were engaged and interacting. You know, we have so many resource fairs in, you know, low-income neighborhoods, and it's just they hand you papers, and you go to the next booth. And I didn't want it to be like that. I said I wanted it to be interactive where people came and they felt recharged and they felt like I'm inspired and I'm going to go home and do something differently, like right now. I don't have to wait for a program. I can walk out today. I have a new tool in my toolbox. I have a new skill. I connected with my child. Me and my child are on the same wavelength. And that was really valuable. And the message that you brought when you spoke, you and Mr. Chaz was also fantastic. And that was exciting as well. The message that you brought, I am still getting comments about a year later. People are still telling me, I mean, I wasn't really thinking of my children as people, but, you know, I thought it was like, that's a whole person. You have to talk to your children like people. And she was like, after I thought about it, she is a person, you know. And for those of us who are maybe further along on our parenting journey, we might be like, well, that's obvious, but it's not to somebody who has themselves been mistreated. And that the initial survey that you did was so impactful. I actually have kind of stolen it, and I have asked that question to people, you know, when in my parenting coaching, in my new role, I just took a new position as a family support worker with an agency here that's contracted with CPS. And that's a question now that I ask people, what's the first time you were exposed to violence? And a lot of times, first of all, it's heartbreaking, but a lot of times people are thinking about gun violence. And I'm like, no, the first time you felt fear at the hands of someone else. And when you phrase it like that, oh, it was my dad, it was my mom, it was my grandma. And then they realize that same fear that I felt, my child feels. Mm-hmm.
And so Inspire just kind of grew out of that, and we've branched off. We're doing so many different things now. We've got our transitional housing program. We're doing family preservation. That's a huge part of it because, you know, our children are being put in the system and they're not coming back out, and we are losing them. And so family preservation is so important because most parents want to do well. People love their children. They just don't know how to do it. And I have seen families that, I mean, there was a mom who was literally beating her child with a tree branch. Like, she, not a switch, like a whole stick off of a tree. She was beating that girl. And I had to get on her level, and I was like, listen, I have kids too. And there are days when they're like, I really feel like doing XYZ. Like, you are taking me to that place. And then we're going to step away, and we're going to feel how we feel. We're going to regulate ourselves. And then we can go back, and we can co-regulate with our child. And she called me and was like, I just want you to know, I was really ready to throw her out the window. She was like, I had my stick. I was ready to go. And then I remembered I was supposed to walk away. I walked. She was like, I did holler, but I didn't hit her. That's progress. That's progress. That's the right direction.
Yes, ma'am.
It's been amazing. And it's been very fulfilling to watch people make changes, including myself. Like, I'm still learning.
Girl, did y'all hear that? She giving me goose pimples. All right. Because you do make an impact on people. It's so important. And y'all, when y'all see this little mama, she a little mama. Y'all think I'm short and I'm a little devil. See, that's my tribe right there. She's so little, talking about she got 10 kids, 8 of her own. See, that's a cold sister. And I'm going to tell y'all, when I did that speaking engagement with you, so there's the side where you're providing this for your children and for the community. But I had a talk with your girls. Good, the big ones, a little small talk. But I said, do you understand that your mama did all this? And they were a little taken aback in a good way, but they were like, she did what? She did all this? And I was like, yeah, your mama called, boy. And I mean, it kind of shifted. I saw a little shift in their respect for you because they really didn't know. So I just want to say thank you for coming on today, girl. You are the bomb. Let's sit so we can do more of this. And
yes,
get this on the airwaves and do the thing. Do that thing with Inspire Family Empowerment. I love you so much. Thank you for being on today, my love.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Peace. All right, y'all. Let me tell you. I got the goodness. In the studio right now. Is somebody. Let me get ready for her right now. She is somebody who, hold on, let me see. Okay. There's somebody who has been so supportive of me, and she's made it so that I've been able to bring this message into Chicago schools, baby. She had me in the Latino community. I'll be able to use my Spanglish. I was like, oh, mamacita. Anyway, I'm going to bring her on right now. This is none other than Norma Celendon. How beautiful.
Hi, Sada. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. I call her the CPS Diva, baby. That's a cold sister right there. So thank you for being on. We don't have a whole lot of time, but we got enough time to hear you, baby. Can you just share with the audience, like, why? Why connect to my book? I don't even know how you found me, but what in your mind was that? What's the intention behind you bringing me in the fold?
You know, I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing you.
Okay.
So I wonder if it is a connection. The volume seems really low.
Okay, let's see if that volume sounds better. Can you hear me?
I can barely hear you. I wonder if I should, if it would be okay for your listeners for me to pop out and pop right back in.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right, let me try that. I apologize, listeners.
No problem. So that sister right there, Hercules, is massive because she calls shots and creates these opportunities for me to talk to the parents. And it was those experiences, I can't even tell you how they've impacted me. But the fact that they, you know, you got to have big people in important places. And I think in one of the workshops, it was a Spanish workshop, and I had given a list of 101 things to say to a child, right? And so to your child, 101 positive things to say to your child. So So, hold on, let me make sure I got her name right. Spell right. So, do you know one of the parents started crying? And when I found out why she was crying because she said, none of these things have ever been said to me. And she didn't know how she was going to say them to her children because she had not experienced having that reality for her. Somebody just saying those positive things to her. And so that's deep. I was like, what? Like, you know, because I'm so used to saying positive things to my daughter. Yo, everybody's not in that space. And so, yeah, we got to really just be about the healing of the situation and confronting the issue. Just confront the issue. Like, just look at it. The thing about the book, and I'm going to tell this one story, there was this radio show. It had like 5 dudes on it or something like that. And they were talking about my book. I wasn't on the show. And they were talking about the book like, oh, please. Yeah, right. Yeah. I wish I would. Yeah, of course I'm going to hit my kids. I'm fine. That's fine. All that kind of stuff. So they were going to have me on the show the following week. So I was ready to confront that energy. Like, let's go. But the brothers had read the book prior to my coming on. Oh, Lord. They didn't give me no fight. Do you know this was a radio show full of black men that was so supportive of what I had to say? I was amazed. I was like, what? Because there was no fight. They read the sanity in the book, and they actually found solutions of better things to do with their children and to pass on. Yo, I just saw the brothers buying that book. I have one brother so anti what I'm saying in the book before reading it, but then read it. Homie was like, I need 5 copies of those. One going to his mother, blah, blah, blah. So the key about this book, and I want you, if you're watching this is to anybody this is Gathering of the Griots. So this is where we're going to talk to black writers. But I need people to understand, because some of y'all out there haven't written your book yet, okay? And it's really about the fact that there's an issue you need to address, and your book helps you address it. So let me try to bring my girl on again and see if she can hear me. Can you hear me, Norma? Can you hear me?
I can. I can't imagine a time I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes. So all I want you to do, you beautiful woman, I want you to just tell the audience just a little bit about who you are, but why bring me into your fold? What was that about? What was that intention about?
Well, I recently left Chicago Public Schools, but I was serving as the Title I district manager, and if you know about Title I is our funds to supplement learning. They are federal funds, and there is a component that involves parent engagement. So my job was to make sure that the districts the schools across the district were using their parent engagement money, and part of my job was also to do some leadership development. There are amazing parent leaders that often need support to do their job better at their local schools. So why did I bring you on board? Who would not want the amazing Asada near them? I became acquainted with Asada when we were doing regional meetings for parents, and her presence was just, I mean, you could feel it. I mean, and all of you, your viewers know that any room that you are in, you light up. So that was one. Selfishly, I wanted to continue to be around that Asada energy, but also I just adored the message that you were bringing to the parents. Especially you were sharing with you your book, but more than just the book. You were really invested in making sure that parents were shining. And I thought this is a model that parents need to have in front of them. It is so tough to be a parent. And then on top of that, to be a parent leader, I mean, that is something that, my hat's off to
any parent who steps up into those roles. We're doing it voluntarily, and we're doing it really because of the passion and the love that we have for our children, but also for other parents. And so that is why I wanted you in our spaces. We had a summit. We had a leadership summit, and I gathered other similar parents with the same energy. And I wanted there to be a balance. I brought parents with different skills, different ways of approaching leadership development, and you were that key component to bring it all together, Asana.
Thank you, Booby. Look, y'all. Queen, no queen. You understand me? Queen, no queen. And I just am so appreciative because, you know, I'm a black girl, that's good, but boy, I be loving me some Latina community too. I mean, you know, and the reason I do is because, don't get it twisted, the parenting in the Latino community, I'm sorry, I be seeing them sisters take them kids to school, and I see whole families going places, and there's just a sliver of, there's a difference in the connection of the community. And so when you all, look, those things are well populated, and the reason is because the parents at the school, they really taking the kids to the school and really involved. And so that, for me, I love that, you know, because it translates into application. You know, how can they use this? How will they use this? I was just talking about a sister. I had given out a list of 101 ways that you can say something positive to your child. And there was one Latina sister who, this might have been through another organization, but who cares? I'm talking about the Latino community. Look, she's going to look at the list and start crying because she was trying to express, nobody never told me this. I never was said, this wasn't said to me. So she was trying to figure out how to say it to her child. And so, yeah, this, I need conduits like yourself to pull me into other communities that do have some of these same issues. I know because I was in Spanish Harlem when I wrote it, and some of those list of objects used to, you know, beat kids or whatever. What you want to do, kneel on some rice? That's what you want to do? Kneel on some corn? You know, that came out the Latino community right there. No, we need to handle all of it because it comes from, you know, we're all a part of the same diaspora, and it comes from being, you know, colonized by others and things used against us, and we use it against ourselves. So go ahead, girl, because you're shaking your head, you rolling the head. What the, say something about that, honey. Say it.
Look, you are speaking the truth, Asana. And let me tell you, one of the reasons that I brought you on is because This is beyond leadership development. This is beyond parenting. This is really about work that needs to be done to correct those oppressions that have been coming down on us for hundreds and hundreds of years. And there has to be some connection across these oppressed communities. And especially right now, there is a brown-black divide. And I intentionally had those presenters represent different racial and ethnic sectors mm-hmm. because they needed to hear similar messages across the board.
Nice.
My mother was a teacher, and she talked to me about those practices of kneeling on rice or having kids stand outside with books in their hands if they were not behaving in class. And so this has been stuff that we have to unlearn. So it's not only about learning new things, but it's unlearning all that stuff and unlearning those roots. I mean, we got to tear that stuff up from the bottom, and it can only be done if they hear it collectively from everyone. So I that was another main reason, the message that you were bringing about how to connect with our children had to be with the erasure of that physical punishment that we know too well, that has been handed down by our abuelas. And, you know, we've been watching it, and we support each other around that. Yeah, it's all right to beat my child because I love them. And so that there's something wrong there when you're trying to equate, you know, physical violence with love. You know, there's something not right.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you brought that up because I have communicated that to families. I saw this one brother. hitting his daughter. She had to be like 4 on the train, and I got up to him. Don't make a scene. I ain't trying to make a scene. That's what makes him angry. But mm-hmm. I stood next to him, and I just whispered to him. I said, you hitting her teaches her mm-hmm. that men that love her can hit her.
Mm-hmm.
And he just looked at me, but he got it. You know what I'm saying? And that's like mm-hmm. you said, it's a little psychotic to equate. I used to do in my workshop, go, can I hit you right now out of love? I think I do like you as a person. Can I smack crap out of you out of love? And they look at me like I'm crazy. Yeah, so that's how your children are looking at you.
Yeah.
They don't feel loved when they get hit. And yeah. we need to really key into, like you said, that was so powerful. I'm going to mm-hmm. find a way to put that in to unlearn, not even mm-hmm. learning new things, but unlearning
mm-hmm.
behavior that has been so debilitating for all
yeah.
these years. So I love you tremendously. You have no idea.
And I am going to be an Asada cheerleader for a long time.
Yay. And let's connect and continue to, I'm thinking about doing a show on this topic because this, we can talk about this topic a whole nother hour, believe
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
It's such a, it permeates our community and what we're seeing in it. That lack of self-love comes from the fact that you can't even go home and feel supported. You might go home and you're going to get your butt kicked
oh, yeah,
by
yeah.
the people that love you. And so that we got to change. And
yeah, and we got to break these cycles. I'm a former sick violence counselor, and I know that those things, unless we break those cycles, this is going to continue.
It's going to continue. I thank you so much for
thank
coming.
Thank you for all you do, Asada.
You are awesome. Thank you for calling us.
Bye-bye.
All right. Y'all, if you want to call in, it's almost that time. Yo, call in at the number that you see, that 727-731-5192, and call in if you want to make a comment. You can literally comment under the video right there on Facebook, and we'll see that comment, and you can do so on YouTube as well. Put a comment. I will definitely put it on the screen. I love that you guys are out there hearing this message. I want to shout out a sister who confronts. She confronts this issue every day. Don't play with me. Her name is Archie. What is it, Golden Girl? Let me see, Archie Golden. Let me look on Facebook. That's my girl. Because this sister, she confronts the issue, and she deals with it talking about matriarchy and what we're doing with this matriarchy of being these mothers who create this, oh, God. They like to use the word trauma, but I don't feel like using trauma because the intellectuals like to use that term, but I need us to look at this thing. It's ugly. It is hurtful, but I need us to confront it so we can do something better about it. But I want to give a shout out because, yo, she confronts the issue daily. I want to help her. She's talking about making a book about the things that she puts on Facebook daily. So love you, girl. I see that I made a video this morning. Adrian Sky, I hope you watch it, baby. She said, when and what time for the show? Maybe you see it right now. But she's also been a supportive of me and had me on her shows, her media avenue for getting the word out. So here's the deal, guys. As we close for today, we're getting close to closing time, but I still can. Any callers, if you want to say a thing or ask a question, please feel free to call in. But I just want to kind of say, look, think of what the ideal scene needs to be for you and your family in terms of your relationships. I'm not talking about money and all that right now. I'm talking about your relationships. Confront the fact that we were raised, some of us, to resent children. Guess what? Raised to resent children and the things that they have to say and do. But we can change that by looking at the fact that we were children first, okay? And think about how we wanted to be communicated with. So we do have a caller. I think Mama AZ is on the line. Go ahead, Naima, let the sister in. Let's see, is she there?
Can you hear me?
I can. What's up, sis?
Thank you so much. I know it's closing time. Grand rising to the families
thank you so much for being here on this day. And thank you, Brother Nelson, for calling in. I hope that you do take Brother Nelson on tour. And I want to say today is a 9, the energy, a number of today. That has to do with spirituality, birthing, and I'm grateful for you for giving me a heads up on something that I have been pondering about. Call me, get my number from Dr. Latif, because I'd like to have a session with you. And now, is your book or e-book or whatever they call it?
Sure.
It's challenging for me too.
Sure, you go right.
Okay, can you call offline if when you have the opportunity? And thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, sis. I appreciate you, no doubt. Y'all be at the website, beatingblackkids.com. That's where you go to get the, you can get the e-book there, you can get the regular book there. I might have even put the parental code of ethics up there, something. Who knows? I gotta go see. But, yeah, I appreciate the support. And, yep, like you said, I'll get the number from Sister Naima to make sure that I reach out to you, no question. Thank you. Anybody else, if we have anybody else that wants to call in, I want to share, I said I would do it, so I like to keep my word. My daughter, her website, one of them is patiencephotography.com, where you can see all of her work. And her, I don't know about all. She need to put more up there to me, even though it's a lot up there. But she's such a phenomenal. She has such a phenomenal eye. And I love that she said, like, she loves what she does, and she loves when people admire her photography. Fabulous, honey. Capture the world. If that, you know, I put a lot of things in her path, and I think that's the thing as parents, raising our skills and not our hands to discipline our children or to rear our children. I don't say discipline because ain't nobody trying to discipline nobody, in my opinion. That's something that you create because you set your own boundaries, right? But when you talk about what she grasps and loves, it's that photography. So I'm very happy about that. And I had her at an audition one time, right? It was like some club, and I wanted her to sing. My daughter could really sing, but she didn't feel like singing. And the dude said, "You look like you up there because your mother made you get up there." I was like, "Damn, why is he saying that?" But anyway, the photography is what she really wanted to do. But in talking about it, she realized we actually come from a line of photographers. She's a photographer. I know some stuff, of course. My brother Lloyd is a photographer. My dad was a photographer. My grandpa was a photographer. So it's interesting that we have this skill to capture life, or sometimes we see things that help people shift how they see things, and they see it in a deeper light. It's an incredible skill to have. So that's one of her websites. So go ahead, pay. And this is her other website, Urban Girl Adventures. That's for her book. And that's the book she came out with when she was 7 years old. And you can go to urbangirladventures.com and see her webisode. She has a webisode that is like the same as her book, but she's a little older. But anyway, you can do so many wonderful things with your children, wonderful things, wonderful, wonderful things. And the thing about it is, yeah, Beating Black Kids got it, but in it, it has solutions. Let's look at the solutions to what we want to see for real for our future, because the reality is that you're not going to be here, adults. It's the children that's going to be here, and they're the ones that are going to have to be equipped with the skills to maintain a good future. We need to end the cycle on this poverty and the cycle on, you know, this lack of love of self, and get back to what it felt like to love each other. And because you can't love nobody if you don't love yourself. I'm going to tell you that right now. So let me see if there's anybody else on the line. Again, if you want to call in, I'm going to put the number of the show up for you. And that is, yep, we're discussing Beating Black Kids by Asada. If you haven't read it, yep, go to my website. You'll find it. That's great. But you can also call in with whatever as we get ready to come to a close. We got, like, I don't know, about 2-3 minutes. But, yeah, again, I want to thank the Female Solution for always supporting me. Naima has always supported me as the author of Beating Black Kids since I got to Chicago. And I know that it's a topic that she's very passionate about. And so being able to have a sister queen say the same things, we just want this to continue to resonate until it takes place on a whole nother level. Norma talked about a summit that they had for parenting, but I think I might be conjuring up a summit for this topic as well. And what I was saying to you authors out there, present and future, remember that your book is a reflection of an idea or a viewpoint, and shows like this will happen for your books as well, where we delve into the topic, but we look at your book as a conduit to dealing with the topic, okay? And you got to be a member for that to happen. So go to soulfulchicagobookfair.com. Let me see. Do I got that up there? Go to soulfulchicagobookfair.com and go to membership, and then look at what it's all about, you know, being a member, what you get for being a member, and all of that. And then, just as a side, coming up will be our next book fair on April 20th. So love you guys, and we coming to a close. Let's do this next Tuesday at 7 a.m. Central Time. Peace. Ending 9.
And also hear today's show on the Female Solutions Facebook page.
We've come to the end of our show today. If you missed any broadcast, go to our website for the audio and video archive at www.thefemalesolution.com. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family joining us from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, xie xie. India, danyaba. Japan, arigato. Korea, kamsahamnida. Russia, spasiba. Germany, danke. Poland, dziękuję. France, merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, merci. Nigeria, esse. South Africa, Diabonga. Senegal, Jere. Kenya, Asante. Israel, Toda. Pakistan, Shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia and Palestine, Shukra. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessing.